Father God, we just come to you as a church body, a body of believers. And Father, we are blessed by your love, by your patience, by your kindness, and your forgiveness. We thank you for that. And Father, today I pray that we will surrender all here, and we will allow you to speak to us, that you will teach us, that you will show us your love, and that we would return with a commitment to you. And we ask these things, Father God, in our Savior Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you all this morning. Our scripture reading today, so if you're comfortable to do so, I just ask that you'll stand. And our scripture reading today is chapter 1 in the book of Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. Then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God, and they threw the cargo which was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship, lain down and fallen sound asleep. So the captain approached him and said, "How is it that you are sleeping? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish." Each man said to his mate, "Come, let us cast lots so we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men became extremely frightened, and they said to him, "How could you do this?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. So they said to him, "What should we do to you that the sea may become calm for us?" For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. He said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that on account of me this great storm has come upon you." However, the men rowed desperately to return to land, but they could not, for the sea was becoming even stormier against them. Then they called on the Lord and said, "We earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on us, for you, O Lord, have done as you have pleased." So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Then the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of this portion of his word. You may be seated.
I asked a few questions in the first service, didn't get much of a response. We'll see how we do here. That's okay. Have you made anybody made any New Year's resolutions this year? We're not big on resolutions in our church, I guess. Ryan, oh, we got two. All right, there we go. I think that beat the first service, so, you know. Did you make any last year? Ryan, we got one. All right, Ryan's on top of the resolutions. So I guess this question would be directed at Ryan. Anyone make a resolution last year that they followed through throughout the entire year? Ryan, man, Ryan gets the award, the star today. Good job. Yeah. Awesome. I read a survey that found 88% of people's New Year's resolutions revolve totally around themselves. They are for self-achievement, self-improvement, and self-help. And listen to this. Less than 3% of America's resolutions have anything to do with the supreme being. So we're not even talking about Jesus, just a supreme being. Less than 3% of Americans' resolutions have anything to do with the supreme being. Unfortunately, the church isn't much better. A recent Barna survey done with hundreds of professing Christians, including pastors and church leaders, asked what they wanted to accomplish in life and found that 8 out of 10 believers found success in things like family, career development, and financial achievement. Listen to this. They also found that fewer than 1 in 5 born-again adults had any specific measurable goals related to their spiritual development. Less than 1 in 5 professed Christians, and this is including leaders, pastors even, have any specific measurable goals related to their spiritual development. Yikes. Do you have any goals or resolutions when it comes to being transformed into the image of Christ? Now, look, I'm not big on New Year's resolutions about things like going to the gym, losing weight, kind of the normal things that people plan for, maybe a promotion at work. But when it comes to our spiritual lives, the statement is true that if you aim at nothing, you're going to hit it. If you aim at nothing, you're going to hit it. As we enter the new year, I want you to ask yourself, if God were to give me a resolution this year, what would it be? In other words, what does God want to do in my life in 2021? Because this is a question we all need to be asking, I think, if we're serious about being Christians, being people of God. I mean, if I think of myself as someone who at least strives to be a man of God, I should at least be interested in what God has to say. What does God want me to aim my life in 2021? As we begin to think about this, one question that might help us as we consider this, because maybe we say, well, I don't know. I don't have any idea. Here's something that might help. I might want to ask, what part of my life or my character doesn't look like Jesus? You know, what part of my life or character doesn't line up with the life and character of Jesus, with the fruit of the Spirit, with the Scriptures? And then, am I willing to do what it takes to join God's work in conforming me into the image of Christ? Am I willing to join God's work in conforming me into the image of Christ? Pastor Bob gave a wonderful, powerful message last week about surrendering to Jesus. We just sang a song, you know, where we said, I surrender all to Jesus. There's a good chance that one of the things God is calling each of us to surrender to Him is our time. Our time. If I take a look at my schedule and honestly say, I don't have time for the work that God wants to do in my life, boy, have I really said a lot about what I have time for this year. Boy, have I really said a lot about what really matters to me this year. We might discover that our surrender to Jesus and our commitment to Him is remarkably thin because it has never translated into how we spend our time. As I look at my own life, and I say, what has God called me to do as a pastor? And I look at the scriptures, and Paul's very clear about the job that pastors have to do and that Pastor Bob and I have to do at this church. I see that my work as a pastor in the book of Ephesians is to join the work of the Holy Spirit in building you up into maturity in Christ. To build the church up into maturity in Christ. And friends, that is not a quick or easy process. But it is one that is possible. If that's what we want. If I honestly say that's what I want more than anything else in 2021, it will happen. It will start to happen. Because Paul's not going to give pastors a job that's impossible, that they can't do. Now, he's going to give them a job that they can do through the grace of God. So as we think about our lives, we might want to realize that God's will for us in 2021 is to be built up and to grow in maturity in Christ. That's what he wants to happen in our lives. And it is possible. In fact, it will happen if that's what we want. The only thing standing in the way of us growing into maturity in Christ is our own unwillingness, or our own lack of desire for that to happen. Today we're going to look back at the book of Jonah. Jonah is a story written by Jonah about his own struggles to surrender to what God wanted in his life. And it's given to us as an appeal to stop making our own plans, our own resolutions, our own goals in life, and instead listen to and embrace the plans that God has for us this year. Let's pray. Jesus, you say in the book of Revelation, I am making all things new. And we might want to just think about that for a moment. And as we consider the things that we say, wow, it'd be awesome if you would make that new in my life. I think you want each of us to realize that that doesn't start out in our circumstances. It starts right here in our hearts. You said in your word, Jesus, that you would remove our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. That Jesus, actually, you came to transform hearts. And as I think about what you want to make new and what you are working to make new right now as we sit here, is my heart. How different my life would look in 2021 if you would truly transform our hearts and make them new. Because this is where our life flows from. It's who we are. And Jesus, we want to give you our hearts. We want to join you in this process. All of Scripture speaks to us about the reality that we can stop this work that you want to do in our lives, but we can also join you in this work. Each one of us this morning wants to say, We join you in this work, Jesus. We want to say whatever you call us to do, we will do it. We will say to you, yes, Lord. Let your will be done in our lives this year. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we look back at this, our passage in Jonah, and we all know the story of Jonah, we're just going to look at the first chapter this morning. We see that Jonah clearly heard his calling from God. Verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, and that word was clear. My guess is you have also heard the word of the Lord. God has given you a calling. God has given you a job. He has given you a vision for your life. And in fact, the calling he has given you is a calling no one else has. No one else can do this job. When Jonah ran from his calling, God didn't turn to plan B, the other guy down the street, to do the job. Because there was no plan B. Jonah was plan A, B, C, D, and all the way down the line. No one else can do what God has called you to do in your specific circumstances and the people he has placed you by. But perhaps, like Jonah, you're doubting that call. You're doubting that vision, that job he's given you. You're ignoring it or putting it off for later. You know, maybe you're saying, God, I'll get to that when things calm down in my life, when things aren't so hectic, when life isn't so crazy. Then I'll finally get to your calling in my life. But brothers and sisters, that's not how it works. It's not how it works. The thing is, I know that God's voice is very easy to ignore, to set aside, and to run from because it comes softly, and there are a million other voices out there that are very loud saying, Robbie, this should be your vision for life. This should be your job. This is what you should do. It should be about you and advancing your name and your plans for your life. But we can hear God's voice and his calling if we are ready to listen and obey. And Dallas Willard said something that was very helpful here when it comes to listening to the voice of God. And so much of this revolves around Scripture. If you don't know where to start here, Pastor Bob and I would love to help. We'd love to pray for you and give encouragement, but man, God's word just has so much to say to us about God's will for his will for our lives. But you know, God's word doesn't give us everything. He also has things he wants to say to us as individuals. And listen to what Dallas said. He said, one of the things I began to realize over time is that for many years God spoke to me and told me to do things, and I didn't know it was him. He said, I just thought it was me thinking. The way I speak to you is by causing thoughts to occur in your mind. Well, God speaks to us the same way, by causing thoughts to occur in our mind. And you know, if we wonder, God, was that really you? The first thing we can say is, does it line up with Scripture? Does this line up with your word, God? Another thing we can ask to confirm if God's speaking to us is talk to our brothers and sisters and say, hey, what do you think? God, I feel like God's saying this to me. And we should involve other people in our plans and our vision for 2021. God will confirm his word if he knows we are ready to listen, hear, and obey. But here's another thing about God's voice that we need to understand. There is not a single time in all of Scripture where God gives someone an easy job to do. There's not one time where God tells someone to do something and they say, okay, no problem, God, I got that. I can handle that, you know. And so if I think God is calling me to do something this year that is far beyond myself and my own ability, that's a good indication that I'm hearing God's voice. Because God is not going to call me to do something I can do without him. I want to say that again. God is not going to call me to do something that I can do without him. So if there's something in the back of my mind that I've been running from because I just say, God, that sounds crazy, there's a good chance that you're hearing God's voice. Now, again, we want to confirm it with Scripture. We want to confirm it with our brothers and sisters. But we each need to know this morning that God has great plans for me this year. God has great things planned for each individual in this room and joining us online this year. The question is not, does God have great things planned for me? It's, will I follow his great plans? This job that God gave Jonah to do sounded insane. It sounded crazy. Let me give you some background information here. Ninevites were known for being absolutely brutal and cruel, and they did horrible things to foreigners. Okay, when foreigners came in their land, I mean, I just can't even share the stories that I read about the things that Ninevites would do to foreigners. Did awful things. Also, there was a prophecy, well known, and Jonah knew this prophecy, that said Assyria, the capital of Nineveh, would soon invade and conquer Israel. So therefore, Jonah understood that if he went to the Ninevites and they listened and they repented and they turned from their ways, they would still be around to invade and conquer his people. And so I know Jonah was thinking, God, are you crazy? You know, what the heck is going on here? This doesn't make any sense. And I can relate to Jonah because oftentimes I think I have better information than God, and he hasn't seen some of the things that I've seen or heard, you know. God, I'm not sure if you know this. Brothers and sisters, this is called our desire to be in control. This is called my desire to be in control. And we have to let that go. We have to let that go. Jonah was really the first missionary to the Gentiles. And so this was another crazy thing that Jonah was thinking, I'm sure, at the time, that God, this has never been done before. But maybe God's been calling me to be the first missionary to my coworkers. You know, maybe he's calling me to be the first missionary to my family members, the first missionary to my neighbors. And we're sitting here thinking, God, they don't want anything to do with you. But the truth is, God has better information than we do. God knows what he's been up to in their hearts all this time. God knows what he can accomplish in someone who is willing to just say, yes, Lord, if that's what you want for me, I will go. And really the incredible thing about this story with Jonah is all that Jonah does is surrender. And that's really it. He doesn't get up and give a big speech about how great God is or, you know. In fact, I think that if that was what Jonah tried to do, it wouldn't have gone as well. God's the one that shows up and does all the big things. And so I don't need to think, well, gosh, I don't know if I can give the perfect, what if I say the wrong thing to my neighbor or my, you know, my friend or this person that you're calling me to, God? No, the story of Jonah shows that all that God's looking for is a willingness to go, a surrendered heart, and he'll do the rest. And that's why I want to say that where it starts is right here in my heart. It starts in my character. And the truth is, walking in the character of Jesus is the sure path to changing the world. If my heart is truly surrendered to Jesus, all to Jesus, as we sang, my life will not fail to impact and change people around me. So much of it is about my heart, my character. And God will take care of the rest if we have that willingness to go, that willingness to surrender. What was it that God saw in the Ninevites? He saw wicked character. And at first, Jonah didn't have the character of Jesus either. But, you know, that didn't disqualify Jonah from his high calling, from being used by God, which is good. Because I don't have the character of Jesus either. Now I'm on my way. Jonah hears the voice of the Lord, but then in verse 3, what do we read? Jonah ran away from the Lord, and he headed for Tarshish. The first thing Jonah did in response to hearing God's plans for his life is he ran. Jonah ran. If you look at a map, Jonah was told to go east, but he ran west. He did the exact opposite of what God wanted him to do. You know, and we might look at our lives and say, you know, God's calling me to step up and be the husband, the dad, the wife, the mom, the man or woman that he wants us to be, but we're running from that. We've made other plans that are selfish, self-centered, and focused on me. Did you know that psychologists have observed a condition common among people where they run away from responsibility? And they call that condition the Jonah syndrome. The Jonah syndrome. Listen to what Abraham Maslow, 20th century psychologist, said in describing the Jonah syndrome. It is falling short of what you could have and even should have been. We all have unused potentialities or not fully developed ones. I have found it easy enough to demonstrate the Jonah syndrome to my students simply by asking, who aspires to be a saint? Who among you will be a great leader? Generally, everybody starts giggling, blushing, and squirming until I ask, if not you, then who else? That's a powerful question. If not you, then who else? Who here aspires to be a man or woman totally surrendered to God? Totally surrendered to God. If not me, then who? There's nothing out there stopping me except my own desire for that to happen. Because God wants it to happen in our lives. And we often talk about praying according to the will of God. This is according to the will of God, that I would be totally surrendered to Him. God wants it to happen. We're the ones that often say, God, I'm not so sure. Great preacher D.L. Moody said that the beginning of his marvelous ministry was the remark somebody made around him that the world has yet to learn what God can do through a man or woman wholly yielded to Him. The world has yet to see what God can do through a man or woman wholly yielded to him. Brothers and sisters, why can't that be us? Why can't that be you? Why can't that be me? Wholly surrendered to God. And let me tell you, this is worth, we take days off for all sorts of things, but this is worth taking a day off in order to discover what God wants me to focus on in life this year. If you honestly don't know what he's up to or don't know what he's calling you to do, clear your schedule because nothing is more important than this. And here's the thing, don't expect for him to give you the whole picture, okay? Because he didn't give Jonah the whole picture. He didn't say, Jonah, do this, and then this will happen, and then this is going to happen. And then he just gave him one step. Go. You know, and that was it. It's like I've read that our car lights only shine some 10 to 15 feet in front of our car, but that 10 to 15 feet will get you where you need to go. And so maybe God's just given us that first step and he's waiting to see if we're going to go, if we're going to listen, if we're going to obey. And after we take that first step, he'll guide us. He'll lead. And don't just focus on things that we think are big. Because in God's kingdom, small things are often the greatest. In God's kingdom, it's often the hidden things that are the most important, most powerful things we can do. Now, if we don't do this, do you know what's going to happen? In 2021, we will feel tossed about by the winds and the storms of life. Just like Jonah. Because after Jonah ran, then we read in verse 4, the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. Now understand, this storm was not sent to punish Jonah. This storm was sent into Jonah's life to get his attention. Brothers and sisters, can I say to you something about COVID? Look, I know everybody's saying 2020 was horrible, such an awful year. I don't think God sent us COVID, but I think he wants to use it to get our attention. Okay. We read in the Old Testament, we read in the book of Revelation where God sends plagues in hopes of people repenting, in hopes of people remembering him and turning back to him. God wants to use COVID and this situation to wake us up to him and our need for him and how serious it is that we take him seriously. How important it is that we take him seriously. You know, if God wanted to punish Jonah, he could have sent a sickness, a disease. He could have just wiped him off the face of the earth, but he didn't. Through this storm, he was trying to get Jonah to turn around and embrace his calling. Has God been trying to get your attention through a storm in your life? Is he trying to use life's circumstances to guide you back to his will? Storms in our life might be God's voice telling us to change course or wake up or take me seriously. We read about what was Jonah doing when God was trying to get his attention? Jonah was sleeping. Jonah fell into a deep sleep, verse 5. And it's so easy to be deaf to God's voice and just like Jonah, instead listen to the voices of our flesh and the world around us that are telling us, take it easy in life. Do what you want to do. Get comfortable. Live for yourself. It's very easy to get used to our comfortable life as God's voice gets fainter and fainter in our ears. I love the story about the researchers at UC Berkeley who placed an amoeba in a perfectly stress-free environment. You know, and we might hope that as bad as 2020 is, hopefully 2021, man, it'd be awesome if there was a lot less stress. Picture a 2021 that's totally stress-free, how wonderful we might think that would be. This amoeba was placed in an environment with an ideal temperature, optimal concentration of moisture, and constant food supply. You would think this was one happy amoeba. But do you know what happened? It died. It died. Too much comfort can literally kill us. Too much comfort can stop God's work in our lives and our growth, our spiritual growth and maturity in Christ, dead in its tracks. You know, and we see it happen over and over again in the scriptures. The Israelites got comfortable, they got prosperous, and what happened? They forgot God. They turned away from God. And so, you know, even though 2020 may have been a difficult year, that doesn't mean it was a bad year. You know, those difficulties in our lives are often allowed because we need them or we will die. Too much comfort will kill a church and kill the growth and work of God in our lives time and time again. Man, and unfortunately, I think too much of the American church is far too comfortable. And so what's happening in America? The church is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. What's happened in places like China, where there's persecution? The church is getting bigger and bigger, and it's thriving. We move on. And so the sailors, they try to figure out what's going on, and they cast lots, and the lot falls to Jonah. And so they go to Jonah, and they say, "What do you do? Where do you come from? What, tell us about yourself." Look at verse 9. We read, Jonah answers, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." So the next thing Jonah did after he ran is Jonah remembered. Jonah remembered. He remembered who he was and who God is. He said, "Wait a second, you're right. I am a servant of God. And there is no calling too high or too great for me." I think another thing Jonah remembered was God's mercy. Just because he had made a decision to run from God's plans, God was still pursuing him. His story wasn't over. Recently, I heard about a young Christian being taught by a pastor to pray for 2 hours straight. Now, you start doing that and it'll change your heart. But after the young Christian did this, he was discouraged because he realized that he went to the pastor and he said, "Pastor, man, I really failed because 10,000 times my mind wandered from Jesus." He just said, "Time and time and time again, my mind went somewhere else, and man, I'm such a failure." But the pastor encouraged this young Christian and said, "You're focusing on the wrong thing here. What you need to focus on instead is that Jesus gave you 10,000 invitations to come back. You know, maybe your mind wandered 10,000 times, but each time Jesus called you back. He said, just come back to me. You had 10,000 examples of God's grace in your life, God's mercy, and how much he loves you. We serve a merciful God who is right now giving us another invitation to remember him, to to remember his mercy, and to remember his calling in our lives. So we continue on and we see the sea gets rough. You want to see a picture of surrender? Let's look at verse 12. Jonah says, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea." Finally, after Jonah ran, then he remembered Jonah risked. He risked himself on God's plans for his life. He said, "I'm going to stop running from what God has for me." And he says, "Throw me into the sea." Yeah, you want to see what surrender to God looks like? That's it right there. And the story of Jonah teaches us, if we were to read through the rest of these chapters in Jonah, we would see that it is always safe to do what God tells us to do. It is always safe to do what God tells us to do. God says, "Robbie, I don't want you lying." And we might say, "But God, I need to protect myself. I need to take care of myself in this situation." No, Jonah teaches us that it's always safe to be honest, you know, to do what God tells me to do. We might say, "God, I don't know if I really want to forgive that person. What if they take advantage of me?" But Jonah teaches us it's always safe to do what God tells me to do. Because God took care of Jonah. When we put ourselves on the line with God, he'll be there. He'll be there. And here's something I want us to understand this year and this morning. I think the truth is, brothers and sisters, that faith without risk is dead. It's non-existent. If I'm not willing to put myself on the line with God, I don't really trust him. I don't really have confidence in him. And in 2021, if I risk nothing for God, then I will gain nothing for God. And another thing, I won't grow. If I risk nothing for God in 2021, I will gain nothing for God, and I will not grow. So again, as we go back to maybe what God is calling us to do, and just being honest, it sounds risky. It sounds dangerous. Even though God might call us to do something, and he says, "Robbie, here it is," and we see it in Scripture that, man, this is God, you've called other people to do this, and you've always taken care of him. There still might be something in us that says, "God, I'm afraid, I'm scared." But what shows that our faith is genuine in Jesus is when we put ourselves out there with him and risk ourselves on God. Jonah finally realized that God wanted him to be a willing sacrifice for other people. And he was willing to die to save those pagan sailors. He was willing to die for them. Friends, our gifts and our calling, they are greater than ourselves. And God doesn't give me gifts so that I'll look great and I'll make a lot of money or whatever. And you know, my resume will look very impressive. And when I tell people about my life, they'll say, "Wow, Robbie's really impressive and great." No, our gifts and our talents and abilities that God has given us are given us to bless others. To bless other people. And the question is, am I ready to set aside my me-centered plans and resolutions and allow God to use me in other people's lives to bless others? Check out these last few verses and what happens when we're willing to do this. So they took Jonah, they threw him overboard. First of all, As soon as Jonah risks himself on God, the sea immediately became calm. And look at how it impacts these pagan sailors. Verse 16, at this, the men greatly feared the Lord. They offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to the Lord. That's what happens when we yield to God's plans. God shows up and great things happen. And God provided a great fish for Jonah, not to punish him, but to save him. Jonah's prayer in the next chapter makes it clear that he would have died if God didn't send that fish to save his life. Okay, so God has given us his word for us to learn from it and to obey. To not just hear, and that's it, go on with our lives, but to hear and do, put into practice. So I want to close by giving you a chance to write down something you think God is calling you to do. And if you say, you know, I need to spend some time to pray about this and to seek God, you know, that's okay. But I really want you to be specific here. And guys, I'll tell you, God's given me something specific, so I've written it down. But don't just write, I want to get closer to God, or I want to follow God's plan this year. Write something like, each morning I'm going to pray with my wife, or each month I'm going to memorize one scripture, and I'm just going to seek the grace of God to live it out. Take an important passage like Psalm 23, 1 Corinthians 13, the Lord's Prayer. Galatians 5 is a great one, the fruit of the Spirit. And divide it up through the year and really let God use it to change you. I mean, you do that this year and your life will be dramatically different in 12 months. Maybe you need to get serious about your time commitment to Jesus this year, like 15 minutes a day isn't cutting it. Maybe you need to engage in a new spiritual discipline, something that Jesus or Paul did to stay close to the Father and walk in the Spirit. Something like fasting, regular private worship, Bible study. Here's one God brought to me, and I was like, God, I don't know. But he said, Robbie, sacrifice something costly each month and don't tell anybody about it. And that was kind of the hard part because, you know. But that being said, we do need each other in this. And we have so many awesome resources with our brothers and sisters in this room and online this morning. Because I'd say if you really want to get serious, share at least some aspect of your resolution with someone else and say, would you pray for me here? Would you encourage me? Would you talk to me about this throughout the year? I need your help here. I need your encouragement. I need your accountability. Because I've learned about myself that if it's just up to me, you know, probably in a few weeks, I'll forget. You know, I'll move on to I'll get me focused and me centered again, and you know, share it with someone else. And guys, I know that even though we may not be great in numbers, you just think if God does something awesome in each one of us here in this room this year, Albuquerque, New Mexico, better look out. Our neighbors better look out. The people in our homes better look out. Because we're going to bring the manifest presence of God to them through us and through our lives. And I don't want to reach the end of 2021 and look back and say, man, I really didn't do anything for God this year. I really didn't grow at all. in my relationship with Jesus. I want to look back and say, I am so thankful I joined God in the work he is doing in my life and allowed myself to be a vessel for his kingdom.